Shir Masechta Midah Daf Samach Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Samach Amud Beis, middle of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Nashim Shayishenes Mitachas. We have three women sleeping on one bed. It's interesting to note that there's a tshuva from the Satmar Rebbe that he says that the halacha is that a woman should not sleep on a bed that a man slept on. For we need to be concerned, he explains, that perhaps the man left over some shechva zera on that bed, and after he left shechva zera on the bed, if the woman was asleep on that bed, the shechva zera may penetrate into her body, and then she will become pregnant, chas v'shalom, with someone else's child, who's not a husband. So he discusses, is that halacha only to sleep on a bed that a man slept on, but is it also applicable to sleep on a bed that a woman slept on? For we've learned many times in our Masechta that a woman who has shechva zera in her body, that shechva zera remains viable for 3 days. And therefore, why should we not be concerned that perhaps one of the other women that she slept on the same bed with had shechva zera in their body, and after the shechva zera was in their body, it will get expelled from her body, and then the other woman will have that shechva zera in her body, and we now need to be concerned that she will become pregnant. So he explains that even if there's a concern in halacha about the shechva zera of another person going into this woman's body, he explains that in the case that we just described, that the shechva zera go in a woman's body, and it has to be within 3 days, and then that shechva zera leaves the woman's body, and then goes on the bed, and goes into another woman's body, and then make that woman pregnant, is very unlikely, and therefore not prohibited. So again, says the Mishnah, Shalosh Nashim Shayishenes Mitachas. Three women are sleeping in one bed. V'nimtza dam tachas achas mehen, and dam is found under one of these three women. The halacha is kulan tameis. All of the women are considered tamei because we don't know from whom the dam came out of. And therefore, we have to restrict as far as all three women are concerned. But the achas mehen, but if one of the women did an examination, v'nimtza tamei, and it turns out that she's tamei, so we assume, says the Mishnah, that he tamei, that she is the woman that had the discharge, she is the woman that's tamei, v'shteim, and the two other women are tahiris. V'tayla zubazu, and they could attribute at certain times the dam to one woman. The Gemara will explain what this means. V'mloi hay ruin lirais, but if all three if all the women who we have here are all equally women who should not be seeing dam, but there was dam, so therefore we have to assume Roina Sekil and Ruyas, we have to assume that all three of them are Tamei. The Gemara will explain this immediately. Am Rabbi Huda Marav. So says Rabbi Huda Marav, when we had in our Mishnah the din that we just learned, that if a woman, if we have the women in the bed, and one woman does a bedika, and she turns out to be tamei, so we assume the dam came from her, and not from the other women. It's only v'hushabat ka'atzim b'shivest, a concept that we've discussed earlier in our Masechta, that she did the bedika immediately. Because she did the bedika immediately, and as the Rishonim point out, when we say immediately, not only does it mean that it was done immediately, but also there was no bedika b'churim b'sadakim. It was only a kinuach, because if the bedika was b'churin of a sedakim, that also takes time, and that also therefore would create a situation that we can't be sure that the dam came from her. Only if this woman did the bedika immediately and found the dam, then and only then can we assume that she's the one that discharged the dam, she is the one that's tamei, and the others are not. So the Miri asks that in the previous year we spent the whole shiur almost, discussing the concept of taliyah. And the concept that we can always assume that one woman is tamed. And there we didn't have these strict requirements. Why in this Gemara do we have the strict requirements? Explains the Miri. In the previous Gemara, when we did taliyah, we said, for example, the woman was a shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim on her first day, or the woman was already a zava. In those situations, there was no delay. Immediately, as soon as we had the question, we were able to do the taliyah. And therefore, we didn't have the strict requirement that the examination must be done immediately. Whereas in Al Gemara, when we start, no one woman is more tame than the other woman. And the only reason we are assuming that one of them is tame is because she is the woman that did the bedika and turns out to be tame. In such a situation, we have to have much higher level of certainty that she is indeed the tame woman. Explains the Gemara. Sovok Bapada. This Tan of our Mishnah agrees with what Bapada said, the Omer. Kosh Baal Bechatas. If we know the halacha is that if a man, Rechmal's son, has relations with his wife when she is a nida, b'shagi hischai v'chatas. So in a situation where the bedika was done so quickly that if the bedika would have been done so soon after the bedika, the husband would be mechui v'kar v'chatas. That's where the halacha is, her taharos of tameis. Any taharos that she also might have touched right before the bedika are also certainly tamei. Because we're certain that she was tamei at that point, to the degree that the husband is chayv chatas if he had be at that point, to the degree that if she touched taharos, those taharos are definitely tamei. But if it's a situation, says Bar Pada, we're baal bashm tolei. The bedika wasn't done immediately, and therefore we can't be 100% certain that he did that he therefore did a bia with a wife who was a nida. And therefore he won't bring a karmel chatos, he'll only bring an ashen talui. There, talois of tluyus. The taharas cannot be considered definitely tamei. They're a suffix, they're tluyus. They're a suffix if they're tamei. And in a situation where Bala Potter, where the bedika was done so much after the bia, that we can't even make the husband bring a carbon chatos because there was such a delay, then taharos taharos, so too are the taharos that you touch tahar. Although the Rishonim ask that we learned in the first Mishnah that a woman who sees dam is tamei retroactively for 24 hours. So how do we understand what that part is saying? So one taharos that the Rishonim give is that Bapada follows the opinion of Shammai, who we learned in the first Mishnah of Amasekta, does not hold a retroactive tumah. Or another teretz that the Rishonim suggest, that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that even if we hold of retroactive tumah, we don't hold of retroactive tumah by certain women who are mesulak estamin. And here we will be referring to such women who are Mesulek Estamim, and since they're Mesulek Estamim, there's no retroactive tumah. This is the opinion of Rav Pada. Rav Oshia, however, says, Afilu Baal B'chatas, even if the bedik was done immediately, that if it were done after a bia, the husband, under such circumstances, would be Chayiv Chatas, Tyros of Tullius. Still, if it was a question only regarding taharis, we would say it's only a suffolk tumah. So ask the Gemara the obvious question. If we're considering that she was certainly tamei, to the degree that the husband is mechui v'kar mechatas, so why are we saying only that the taharis are a suffolk? Answers the Gemara. Bishlam ha-hasam e-meshamish ekful adam. By the husband, we could say the reason the dam wasn't there when it really, we think, came, was because since he was a miller bia, his aver prevented the dam from coming out. That's only when it's a question that there was a bia taking place. But when there was no bia taking place, halacha im isa da have a dam, if indeed there was dam from a moment before, to the degree that you want to be certain to the degree you want to be so certain that you want to say that the taharis atame, saman akfe. Why didn't we see the dam? And therefore we only consider the suffix, not a vadai. So Taisvis asks, but we certainly see that there's still a shaila. So we can't know for certain that she was tame. So why are we being machmer regarding bringing karma chattas? So Taisvis answers that pshat in the Gemara is, since this situation that the husband's aver prevents the dam from coming is quite common, that is enough of a reason to say that that we should be certain that indeed she was already tamei and it was the eva that prevented the dam from coming out. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, comments Rabbi Yirmiyah. Moshe Rabbi Oshia Lama Dava Doima. This concept that Rabbi Oshia teaches us is what to what can we compare it? Says the Gemara, Liel v'zokin shayim alchem derech, a young man and an old man were traveling on the road. Kav man shayim derech, as long as they're on the road, so the young man walks slowly in order to accompany the old man. But once they come into the city, and the young man no longer needs to accompany the older man, he moves quicker. Similarly, here too, as soon as the aver goes away, the dam could come. Abaya gives another marshal. Somebody puts his finger in his eye. Kav masha etzba ba'ayin, as long as his finger is in the eye. Dima shoy lovay. It prevents the tear from coming out. Not left, but once the finger is taken away, dima maharis lovay. So too, as long as the aver is there, the aver prevents the dam from coming out. Afterwards, the dam immediately comes out. So Mefarshim asks that normally when the Gemara brings a mashal, it's either helping us understand the Gemara, it's trying to teach us something. What is the Gemara here trying to teach us that with these Mishalim? So Chassam Sofer explains what the Gemara exactly has come to teach us is the question that we just discussed a moment ago. Taisus asked, how could we be so certain that the woman was Tamei, that we should make the husband bring the Karma Chattas? How could we be so certain of that, says the Gemara? Just like when a young man, an old man, or just like a person with eyes in his finger in his eye. So we very well understand what was the reason whatever happened here. So too, we could be certain that it was the aver that prevented the dam from coming, and therefore he certainly chayv karma chattas. That's the Chassam Sofer's explanation. Dor Sameach says that Abai and Rabbi Yirmiyah are actually arguing when did this take place? If did this take place that was saying that the husband is chayv karma chattas in a time of a vest? That's how Abai holds. Just like Abai says, we're talking about a situation where his finger is in his eye. The finger in the eye represents that there's certainly going to be tears. So too, the reason why we're saying that the husband certainly did a bias nida is because it was during the time of a vest, whereas Rabbi Yirmiyah will say that the halacha that we've been learning doesn't necessarily only apply at the time of a vest. The Paiskim actually, interestingly, learned from this Gemara an unrelated halacha, and that is from here we see that if there's a person walking on the road, and it's a road that's not in the city, it's a road that's not well traveled on, you shouldn't let that person travel on the road himself. And even if you could go quicker, and by you walking with that person, it prevents you from reaching your destination as quickly as you would like to reach your destination, still, you have to walk along with him to make sure that he's not left, to make sure that he's not left alone. I saw, actually, a very interesting tshuva from Yitzhak Zilberstein in the Sefer Cheshuke Chemet. He says, what is the halacha if somebody goes into a taxi and to reach a destination, he's in a rush, he wants to reach a destination, he jumps into a taxi, and when he gets close to wherever he's traveling, there's a traffic jam. And at that point, he wants to go out of the taxi for two reasons. Number one, because at that point he's going to reach his destination. He's very close to his destination, and he will be able to reach his destination just by walking it quicker than sitting in the taxi. And number two, as long as he's sitting in the taxi, the meter is running, and he doesn't want to have to pay for just sitting in a traffic jam. On the other hand, the taxi driver obviously does not want him to walk out of the taxi at that point, because by him walking out of the taxi at that point, the taxi will remain stuck in traffic and not making any money. So what's the halacha? So he paskins that since the person who goes into a taxi, so the taxi driver realizes two things. Number one, he realizes that this person is obviously in a rush and he wants to get to wherever he's getting as soon as possible. And number two, he also knows that traffic jams are very likely to happen. So unless the taxi driver explicitly said when this person came into the taxi that if this will happen, you will be responsible to remain in the taxi until we reach the destination. If he didn't explicitly say so, the passenger could leave and not have to pay the extra for the taxi driver being stuck in the traffic. V'tal zubazu, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, v'tal zubazu. Tana bonim, keitza tal zubazu, what does tal zubazu mean? If you have two women, ubra v'sheinu ubra, one woman is pregnant and another woman is not pregnant, tal ubra v'sheinu ubra, and there was dam, we could assume that the dam came from the non-pregnant woman. Or, minik v'sheinu minik, we have a nursing woman and a non-nursing woman, we could assume, again, says the Gemara, that the dam came from the non-nursing woman. Zakena v'shen zakena. Well, we have an older woman and a younger woman. Toil zakena v'shen zakena. We could assume that the dam came from the woman that's still a nida. Or besula v'shen besula. We have a woman, one woman's a besula, another woman's not a besula. Toil besula v'shen besula. We could assume that the dam came from the woman who's not a besula. However, says the Gemara, they're both pregnant. Shteim menekes, they're both nursing. Shteim zakenes, they're both elderly. Shteim besulas, zuishinina. That's what the Mishnah said at the end. And the Mishnah, loy hoyin ruis lirois, that none of these women were women that normally would be seeing dam. And under such circumstances, royin kilin ruis, we assume that that we have to treat them all, and they're all a suffix. Machlaikus Rishonim, there's a Machlaikus Rishonim. What would be the halacha regarding a woman? One woman has a vest, a woman is not experiencing a vest. Do we also again say that we could assume that the dam came from the woman who's experiencing a vest? A Machlaikus Rishonim. There's also a machlokes in the Paiskim. What would be the halacha regarding who is considered a mesalekes damim? In other words, let's say you'll have two women who are mesalekes damim, but different reasons. One's a muberis and one's a zakena. Are they all treated equally? And therefore, if you have two such women, as the Gemara just learned, we have to treat them both tamei, or are there different degrees of mesalekes damim? And some paiskim suggest that a muberes and minekes are considered the highest degree of mesalekes damim. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Noshim Shoyishenes Vemitas Achas. Three women are sleeping on one bed. The nimtza dam tachas amtzos, and the dam is found under one of those women, kulan tameis. Then all three are considered tamei. The Mefarshim discuss that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where they're sleeping. But if they're not sleeping, then the halach is each one, that's what we have to be concerned, as we're about to learn, that maybe they moved around while they were sleeping. But if they're up, then they tell us that they didn't move around where they were sleeping, we would trust them. The question is that we see in different areas in halacha that a person doesn't necessarily remember where they were standing. And here our Gemara is assuming that we can't trust the woman to say where they were standing. So I saw the Mefarshim give a number of terutzim. One terutz is that here, this statement, this declaration that they would be making where they were the entire time, would be a declaration that was being made immediately. Immediately after something happens, a person still remembers. When the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch says a person doesn't remember where he was, it's talking about when there's a time in between. And then he forgets the details that aren't important. Or another teretz that the Echoraim suggest is that here we're talking about Ksamim, and as we've learned so many times, Ksamim are only the Rabbanan, and therefore we could be more lenient by Ksamim. Another teretz is that where does the halacha say that a person doesn't necessarily remember where he was standing? It's regarding a chayiv. A person left money, and he says, I knew I was standing here, I wasn't standing there. Those are unimportant details. They have nothing to do with the actual loan. But the issue that we're discussing has very much relevance to the question, and therefore this is something that's an important detail. Important details, people remember. Unimportant details, people don't remember. So again, Shalosh Noshim Shal Yishen Shemita Achas, three women are sleeping on one bed. V'nim Tzadam Taksam Tzosh, and the dam was found under the woman who's sleeping in the middle. Kulim Tameis, they're all Tameis. Tachas Apninis, but let's say the women are sleeping. The bed is next to the wall, and the dam is found next to the woman sleeping next to the wall. Shushtaim Apninis, the woman that the dam is found under her, and the woman next to her, the woman in the middle of Tameis. The Chitzainis, but the woman on the further side from the wall is Tahira. Vice versa, Tachas Chitzainis, the dam was found on the woman furthest from the wall. So then, Shtaim HaChitzayinis Tameis, the two outer women are Tamei, the Apnimis and the woman next to the wall are Tar. Kamins the Mishnah, Emesai, when was this then said? Bezmancha Avadarach HaMargal Samita. That the woman, let's say, who's sleeping next to the wall, did not get there by passing over the entire bed. She climbed from the foot of the bed onto her place. Avlam Avadarach Aliyah, if that woman had to travel over the entire bed, then the halacha is kulam tameis, because all of the women traveled, stood on every spot of the bed, and therefore we have to be concerned that that's where the dam, that the dam came from her. But the achna, continues the Mishnah, if one of these women did an examination for nimtzas tahor and she was found to be tahor, he tahor, so she remains tahor because she did this examination, ushtaim tameis, and the other Atame. So the Mefarshim discussed that in the previous Gemara, we just learned that Babhada taught us that in order for an examination to be effective, it had to be done immediately after the Bia. So what will be the halacha here? Is the same, will the halacha here too be that in order for this halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah, for the examination to be effective, it would have to be done immediately or not? Some Rishonim say, yes, Barpada will hold that it has to be done immediately. On the other hand, the Beis Yosef quotes the result where in the previous Mishnah he says the purpose of the examination was to determine the state of the other women. That's when the examination had to be done immediately. Whereas in our Gemara, where the purpose of the examination is supposed to be done only to determine her status, there it doesn't have to be done immediately. But then the Mefarshim also discuss, because when we began the shiur today and we spoke about the opinion about Pada, we said in order for there to be considered an immediate examination, it has to be that the examination wasn't even Bechurim V'Sadokim, because otherwise it can't be considered immediately. So the question again would be in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says we could rely on the examination to say that she's tahor, what type of examination? Because if it's going to be a churim stokim examination, it may be too much of a delay. continues the Mishnah, but b'shtayim matzah tahiris. If two women did examination, they found themselves tahor. So halach is hang tahiris, or shlish is tamei. But what happened, says the Mishnah, shloshtim, if all three women did bedikas, and they were found to be tahor, but the dam came from somewhere. The dam came from somewhere, and therefore kulan tameis. L'mad bar diamond. How to what can we compare this? Says the Mishnah. L'gal tamei. There's a heap that has in it something tamei, a bone or kazayis mace. That got mixed up with two other heaps that are tar. Or brought achsman matar, and one of them was examined and found to be tar. So the law is who tar or shnayim tamei. If shnayim, if two heaps were examined, umot tarim are found to be clean, so we say that hein tahirin, and the shlishi is tamei. But if shloshtam, if all three were examined, umot tahirin, then the law is kulam tameim, divremeya, because it must be somewhere. Shremeya aimer, kaldav shechusku tama, lailam betumasai, it always remains tamei, until we can be certain where the tumah went, we have to assume that the tumah is there. And since we don't know where it is, we have to treat them all as tummy. The Chum disagreed. The Chum Imrim, Bardik Atch Megela Salah Psula, we just have to do an examination until we get the hard ground. And once we get to the hard ground, we can be sure that it's tar. Even if it will mean that all heaps are tar, I where did the tumah go? It must have been taken away. Ask the Gemara. Mashna Reisha Dwai Maflik. Ask the Gemara, why in the Reisha didn't the Mishnah make this distinction between under which spot on the bed the tumah was found? Or Mashna Sefer, whereas, and the first Mishnah we learned today. Or Mashna Sefer, why in the second Mishnah that we learned today, Maflik, does the Mishnah make this distinction exactly under where it is sleeping? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ami B'Mishlovis. The first Mishnah is referring to a situation where all of them are touching each other. So since they're all touching each other, therefore the spot on the bed where the dam is found doesn't make any difference. In our Mishnah, they're not touching each other, therefore the spot on the bed where the dam was found makes a difference. And the Paiskim say, along the same lines, that in our Mishnah, if they were sleeping on a sheet or on a blanket that can move around, even if they're not mushalovis, then they would all be tamei because the sheet or the blanket moves around. So we learned in our Mishnah that if a woman did a bedika and then she discovers that she's tar, so we say she's tar, and then the second woman, but again, if all three did bedikas and are tar, then we have a question and all three are tamei. And then the Mishnah had the same type of discussion regarding a heap that had in it something tummy. So ask the Gemara. Lomli lemis lemazah doima. As we said earlier in our shiur, whenever the Mishnah brings a example, because there's something to learn from that example. So what is there to learn from this example? Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand the dialogue in the Mishnah. Hachu kamal ramei l'rabban. Mishnah b'dam d'loy p'diksu. Why by the dam do you not disagree with me? And therefore you agree that if all three women did examinations and they all found that they were tar, there's something wrong here and they all considered tummy at that point. Well, Mishnah Megal, and why by the heap, the plague, do you disagree with me? And if all three are examined to be tar, we consider all three tar. Rabbanan. So Rabbanan explained themselves. Bishlam Hassam, by the heaps, we could say, Ema Ayrav Natla. We could explain that why didn't we find the tumah, because it's indeed not here, because a bird transported it away. Aval hocha, hay dam hechaisa. In our case, where did the dam go? It must be that in our case, did somebody tumah, and since we don't know who that is, we have to treat them all as tumah. Tanya, and we learn in the Braisa, Amar Meir, Maisa b'shikma shakfar, sova shaymachzikma tumah. There was a tree in Kfar Sama, a sycamore tree, where they assumed there was tumah under that tree. And they examined and they did not find any tumah. A couple days later there was a big storm that uprooted the tree. And there was a mace found at the root of the tree. So he says, Ramei Terechami, you see that the tumah doesn't go away. Amaloi, so Rabbanan responded to Ramei, That isn't a good raya. Mishum raya. They never did the examination initially properly. Tanya, another story. On Rabbi Yossi, Meister Marshal Shichim, Shem Machzuk Matuma, there was a cave that they assumed there was Tuma in there. Ubatka Achal Gil, Akaka Shoysa Chaloki Kitzparin, and they did an examination, Vilay Matsun, they didn't find any Tuma. Lichna Subad Palim, Neg Shamim. A couple of days later, there were some workers that came into that cave to cover up from the rain. The Nut Subakad Mesayim, and they put their axes down on the floor. Umatsun Machdeshus Malayatram, and they found a bowl full of bones. Amala, so you see again that you can't assume that the tumma just is transported away. And again, Amala, the Rabbanan said, Misham Raya, Emla Batka Kotsarkoi, we have to assume that the bedika wasn't done properly. Tanya, Abishal Oima, Maisa be Selebes Chorin, Shemachzik Matumma. There was an incident in Selebes Chorin where they assumed that it was tumma. Vla Yochla Chamu lived out, but the Chamu cannot examine and look for the tumma. Because it was a very big area. However, there was one zok in there. Very Yeshua ben Chananya Shemoi, Amlam, he told them, Hiviu li sadinim, bring to me sheets. Hiviu li sadinim, they brought the sheets to him. Vesharmamayim, and he soaked them in water. Oparsamalayim, and then he put it over the area. Ma'akutara, a place that was tar yavish, remained yavish. Makam tumalach. What does that mean? The place where there was no tumma there had never been plowed. And since it had never been plowed, that's why when you put on it a wet sheet, it remained dry. Whereas the place that had tumma there once was a place where it was originally plowed on. Since it was originally plowed on, when you put a wet sheet, that area absorbed the moisture, and that was an indication that that was a place that was tummy. But gematza, and indeed they found bar gadol mole etzamis. That's the way Rashi learns. Taisus has a different girsa that the sheet got wet. If the sheet got wet or the sheet got dry, tummy. Says the Gemara, this bar that they discovered full of bones, who bar shirili shmol ben sani chalolim. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor in Eretz Yisrael. And not only did Gedaliah succeed with the people in Eretz Yisrael, but even the Jews that lived in the countries near Eretz Yisrael all accepted his rule. Bilas Melech Bavel was Balas Melech B'nai Amon, I'm sorry, was very upset about this, and he sent an enemy of Gedaliah, whose name was Yishmol ben Nesanya, to kill Gedaliah. Yoachim ben Korach became aware of what was happening here, and he went and reported this to Gedaliah. And Gedaliah, as we're going to see in the Gemara, did not accept what he said, and therefore on Rosh Hashanah Yishmol killed Gedaliah, and then afterwards Yishmol killed other people, and that's what the Gemara says, and this is where we have some Gedaliah from, and that's what the Gemara says, Tana hu abar shemili Yishmol bei nesanya chalolim. This is the pit that was filled with the people that Yishmol had killed. Tiksiv Tabar Shahishl Shamishmol as Pigrei Hanoshim Ashika Biyad Gedaliah. The pit where people who had been killed because of Gedaliah were put into. So ask the Gemara immediately, as we just described the story. Vichy Gedaliah Hargan, was it Gedaliah that killed them? As we just described, Veloy Yishmol Hargan, wasn't it Yishmol that killed them? Since Gedaliah should have paid attention to what Yochanan and Kerech told him, and he didn't pay attention, it's considered as if he killed him. Amar Rava, and therefore comments Rava, when we speak about Lashon Hara, Avgav LeKabulu LeMibayim, that a person should not accept the Lashon Hara. The Farshim point out that the wording LeMibayim is sort of inaccurate, but the next words need that word, so that's why it's used. Mechish LeBayim. You have to pay attention to it to some degree. And as the Chofetz Chaim explains, that what the Gemara means to say is that as far as treating the person like a regular Jew has to be treated, you have to continue treating him like a regular Jew. All the Gemara means to say, says the Chofetz Chaim, is that one needs to be concerned and watch out if he hears such a report, that this report could ultimately cause the person who's hearing damage. Says the Gemara, Hanab b'nei Galila, there were these people from Gaul. The Nafika like called the Kotel Nafsha. There was a rumor that these people killed the person. Also came to Rav Tarfin. So they came to Rav Tarfin. Amle Litman Amar. They requested Rav Tarfin hide them. Amlu Hechi Neved. What should I do? Eli et Mereichu. If I won't hide you, Chazi Yaschei. The authorities will see you and execute you. Et Merenichu. On the other hand, should I hide you? Hamer Rabbanim, hi Lishna Bishna. We just learned in the Gemara that regarding Lashon Hara, Avgad L'Kabula L'Mabayi, one shouldn't pay attention, Mechash L'Mabayi. So therefore he said to them, Zil Atan Tamar Nashaychu. So the Machlokes Rishonim, why Rav Tarfin didn't want to hide them. Some Rishonim say that Rav Tarfin didn't want to hide them because they were murderers, and one is not supposed to help people who are murderers. Others say that that's the way it seems Rashi learns. Others say that that isn't pshat, but the pshat is that Rav Tarfin, if it was only because of them, he would have to indeed help to hide them. Here there was a question of the government being upset if he would have hid them, and therefore he wasn't obligated to put himself into a situation of a suffix where he to save someone else. Which opens up an entire issue that the Paiskim discuss. Is one obligated to put himself into a suffix kana to help someone else? And there are Achrayim that want to say that from here we see that one doesn't necessarily even have to put himself into a suffix kana to help someone else. And in fact, some want to suggest that that is the machlokes of the Rishonim and how to learn this Gemara. The Pasuk says, again, this is regarding Lashon Hara. The Pasuk says that when Og Melech HaBoshim wanted to wage war against Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to Moshe Altira, who was Og Melech HaBoshim? Og Melech HaBoshim explains the Medrash where the Malachim said to Hashem, there was certain malachim that said to Hashem, after the story of Adam and Chava did the Avera, you see, they tell Hashem, we told you not to create the person. Look what happened. You created the person, they did an Avera. So Hashem said to them, you wouldn't be any different. And that was Shem Chazoi and Azoil. Those were the malachim that spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. And then Hashem sent them down to this world, and they indeed sinned with women, and their children were Oig and Sichon. Ask the Gemara, Michti, Oig and Sichon Achihava. Oig and Sichon were both brothers, and as the Mefarshim say, as Aruch Lener explains, since they were both brothers, it was all likelihood that Sichon, therefore being the son of the Malachim that we just described, was also very strong. There's Omar. Yet, why was Moshe Rabbeinu scared of Oig? Or Maishnam Snichon, the like of Mr. Fee, that he wasn't scared of Sichon? Arab Yochanan Rishimin, Ben Yechoi, Mitchuvasa Shalosh Tzadik, from what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Ati Yidei Mayi Belibai. We could understand why he was scared. Omer, Shamalai Tamalai Tzchush of Avram Avinu, maybe the Tzchush of Avram Avinu, Shinemar, he came and reported to Avram Avinu about Lot being captured. Rabbi Yochanan the oig shepalat midara mabel. So we see that oig was saved because he said something to Avraham Avinu, which caused Avraham Avinu to accept it and therefore go and save Lot. And as the Mefarshim all explain, even though we know that Oig's intentions weren't honorable, Oig's intentions were to marry Sarah, still, he did the right thing, and that was what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be concerned. Tosfos and Rishonim discuss, if that was the case, how did Oig and Sichon survive the Mabul? So Tosfos says that the Rishonim say either they were in Eretz Yisrael, and there was no Mabul in Eretz Yisrael. Others say that Oig actually hung on to the Teva and Noach fed him, and that Sichon actually might have been in the Teva. Tanabon, Beged She'avad by Kesem. If you have a garment that there's a Kesem, there was a Kesem on it, but you don't know where it is, Mabul of Shem Savimonim, we could put on it the Shiva Seven Monim that we discussed, that we're going to learn in the Mishnah in tomorrow's Shir, and like that, the blood will become bottled. Rav Shimon, ben Elazar Omer, Baitchai, Shchunas, Shchunas. You should examine this garment piece by piece. Of the bar, Shifra Zera, if there was Shifra Zera on a garment and it got lost, what should you do? Chodosh, if it's a new garment, Baitka B'macha, take a needle over it and you'll see where there may be dried on liquid. Shachuk, if it's older and it's worn out, so it's not that thick, Baitka B'chama, put it up against the sun and you'll be able to see where there's a stain. Tana, it says the Braisa, Ain't Shkuna, we said that you examine piece by piece, Pachim Shosh, you examine each piece, three etzbos by three etzbos. Tana Bon, Beged, Shalva Klein, you have a beged, that you have a wool beged and a piece of linen thread fell into it. Hareza loyim kerin loyim kham, it may not be sold to an Akum, because we're concerned that the Akum will then sell the garment to a Jew. And we're referring to a situation where you can't tell that there's linen in it. Furthermore, v'leisenim adas l'chamor, even though the halacha is that there is no problem with a donkey saddle of klayim, but here we need, because you're sitting on it and it's not a beged, but we're concerned if you're going to sell it, somebody may take off a piece of it as a patch for clothing. Mefarshim discuss, why are we not concerned about, why don't we say that this thread becomes bottle? So Mefarshim say that we don't say the concept of bittel where both materials are mutter. And here, the linen for itself is mutter, and the wool for itself is mutter. Since both of these materials for themselves are mutter, we don't apply the concept of bittel. Of course, the question is that if that's the case, when both materials are mutter, we don't apply the concept of bittel, so why do we say bittel by basa b'cholov, even though the basa for itself is mutter, and the cholov for itself is mutter? So Mefarshim explained, basa b'cholov is unique, because bas b'chol, we know, is only usher when midaraisa, at least, when they're cooked together. So we see that by bas b'chol, the fact that they take into consideration is tam. By klayim, obviously, there is no such consideration. Amar Rav Yosef, Zois Ameris, the fact that the Gemara is teaching us that we could use this beged for tachrichim, mitzvah b'teis lasu lovay, that there won't be no mitzvah after tachrichim amesim. Because otherwise, when the people get up, they're going to be wearing tachrichim that are klein. Amalei bai b'tem rav dimi, v'hama rav mani am rav yani lo shana v'softai, only during the time of the hesped may a mace wear klein. Avloi kovroi, to leave him in those klein is asur. Amalei lavat lak itmar lo, am rav yochan afil lo kovroi. Rav yochan says we can even bury him in the klein, because Rav Yochanan Tamei, the Amr Rav Yochanan Maid, it said, the Meis and Chavshi, Kim Shemais Odom, Nasa Chavshi Min HaMitzvus. And therefore, even if the Tachrichim are klein, we need not be concerned. Says the Gemara, Amr Rafram, Bar Papa Amr Rav Chizda, Beged Shavu Bar Klein, again we have this beged that has a thread of klein that got mixed into it and we can't see where it is, Sova Yimuta,
because, as the Mepharshim explained, wool and linen do not take dye the same way. And therefore, through the dyeing process, we'll be able to see which is the other thread. Amalei Ravnar Papa, Mnalei Lusabaha, Amalei Masnisani. That's a Mishnah. The Tana, just like we learned in our Mishnah, Boydikach Megillah Sela, we keep on doing investigation for that Tuma, and we don't find it. They don't take the dye the same way. So if you find it through the dyeing process, great. And if not, then it must be, keeping the law idea, it must be that this thread must have fallen out. Somebody puts a thread of linen into a wool garment, the natke, and then pulls it out. And he doesn't know if he got it completely out. Shapidami. It's still permitted to be worn. My tama, midaraisa, shatnes ksiv. The Torah, when it speaks about shatnes, uses the word shatnes. Shatnes is a contraction of shui tavi v'nuz. That has to be, have spun, smoothed, spun, and woven together. V'rabbanan hudukazabay. So that's the only time it's considered shatnes. V'rabbanan are the ones who said that anything else is also. The king of the layod and not gay, here the Rabbanan Shari will be more lenient. Rabbanan will be more lenient since it isn't Shatnes Deraisa. Maskla Ravashi asked Ravashi, Eimer, maybe what the Torah means to say is Oy Shevi, Oy Tavi, Oy Nus. But really, the halacha does follow mazutra. Midr achber achmar b'chal lishma. The fact that Torah used the word shatness is an indication that unless it's shui tov v'nuz, it's not considered shatness midrash. Tanabon, beget zavua, mutamisham kesem. A colored garment also has hilchus k'samim. Rav Nosson, by Yosef Amar, ain't mutamisham kesem. There is no halacha of kesem on a colored garment. So I take the big name, Tzfayna Isha, El Hakla Kismayim. Chazal said that women should wear these kind of garments, not have a problem with Ksum. Tiknu, ask them, what does Tiknu mean? Ma Tikninu. El Shahitu Big Day Tzfayna Isha. Chazal allowed women to wear Big Day Tzfayna in order that they shouldn't have a problem, El Hakla Kismayim. Ask them, Hutru Michlad Asiri implies that it was once also. Says Mark in. The Tanya, the Pomashas, when Espinus attacked Yushlaim, Espinus was Titus's father, Gozra Atar's son, the Medixer, afterwards the Chassanim and Kalos should no longer wear wreaths that looked like crowns. Valiris was a special type of instrument that they played with. Big Shalitza Bidik Tzvonim, they also wanted to make Zera that women should not be allowed to wear colored garment. Amri Ha'adifa, this they shouldn't do, they should leave it mutter, today lachal akismayim. Now, lach and mefarshim indeed paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that there are no psalmim by colored garments. There's a machlotus rishonim as to why. Some rishonim say because the psalmim are not noticeable on colored garments. Others say because that's part of the Xeris Chazal. And that indeed is the way we follow. Any colored garment, even if you could clearly tell that it's blood, there is no kesem on such a garment. And not only is there no kesem on such a garment when it's colored, the halacha, the Paiskim say, is that a woman, unless it's the time of Hazayin Nikim, should specially wear colored undergarments to avoid any ksamim questions. There are Paiskim that want to distinguish between garments that are right next to the body versus other garments, that only garments that are right, not right next to the body, we don't have a problem if they're colored of ksamim. Garments next to the body, if they're colored, there is a problem with ksamim. But as I said, what the paiskim that we follow say, that all colored garments, even ones that are next to the body, there is no problem with ksamim and should preferably be worn unless it's the time of the Zayin Nikiyim or the time of Estes.